You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Hi, I'm Paul.
I'm Storm.
And we're Paul and Storm. You are listening to The Flopcast.
And we are just flopping around.
At least if you're not, I don't know how you're hearing this promo.
Flop. Flop.
Storm is flopping.
Flop.
Live from Chicken Town, this is The Flopcast, episode 461.
On flopcast.net.
Yes, yes. Hello, Cornflake.
Hey, Kevin. That wasn't you during the intro.
You know, I feel like I may have been replaced for a second there. I think there's somebody else on the line. Everybody, please welcome all the way from Michigan, our dear old friend Blasted Bill is here.
Hello.
Hey, it's Bill.
Hey, yay. Special guest. Remember I said I want to have more guests on the show this year? And look, it's finally happening.
Huzzah.
Look, you meant it.
Yes, and this was sort of a happy accident. We were hanging out with Bill online, and I was saying to Cornflake, you know, Cornflake, we should have a guest this week. And then, oh, hey, Bill is right there on the call with us right now. Bill, come on the Flopcast.
Yeah, I've been meaning to say, if you want to have me on, shoot me a message, and I keep forgetting.
Well, it just kind of happened weirdly and naturally then.
It worked out.
Yeah, because you've been on the Flopcast before, but never by Zoom,
yeah.
But even we've never actually had you in the Chicken Town studios with us either, back in our non-pandemic live recording days, just
yep.
Because you're very far away.
Oh, yeah.
But you've been on the show like from convention
yeah.
recordings and stuff.
When we did those wacky conventions back in the day.
Yeah. Remember when humans gathered?
Yeah.
Nerds even?
Would I barely remember it, but I have a vague memory.
And you are largely responsible for the Flopcast even existing.
So you've told me before.
Yes. I love that you have zero memory of this.
Yes.
The first time I went to MarsCon, this would have been like 9 years ago this week.
Wow. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Essentially.
Yeah.
And we were hanging out talking. And I said, you know, Bill, I'm thinking about starting a podcast and hopefully with Cornflake as my co-host. And you immediately said, yes, yes, do that. Absolutely. I would listen to that.
And hey, I have been.
And so, and you kept your word for 9 years. And I came home and called Cornflake and said, hey, let's make a podcast. And now here we are, all three of us.
And me and Moonbeam had already been doing our podcast at that time, right?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, okay.
Some of our podcasting inspiration came from, yeah, Blasted Bill and Moonbeam doing the Pod of Destiny.
Yeah.
And Luke and Carrie doing Bad Rapport.
Yeah. Because I think we were inspired by Luke and Carrie, but I'm not 100% sure. Like, it happened really soon after each other, and then, yeah.
Yeah.
So, but you
and then nobody's been inspired by the Flopcast. So it ended right there. That was the end.
But, I mean, you're still going. Ours.
You figured out how to stop, how to get out of it. We're still trying to figure that out.
Oh, come on, Kevin. We broke the mold.
There was no figuring out how to stop. It was baby number two and done. for Moonbeam, not for me.
Okay, yeah, I was thinking, wait a minute, which one of us had a baby here on the call?
Uh-oh. Moonbeam had baby number two and she was done.
Yes, yes. And, well, here we are on the Flopcast all together once again. And you know what happens at the beginning of the Flopcast, Bill, as a faithful listener?
It's National Whatever Day.
National Whatever Day!
What are we doing, Cornflake, this week?
We're going to talk about Webster, because Emmanuel Lewis turns 50 on March 9th.
Oh, wow. Oh, man!
Yeah!
You know, if we hadn't already shut down society, I was going to suggest that we should just shut down society right now, because how can we go on in a world where Emmanuel Lewis is 50. That's bizarre.
Isn't that something?
Yeah. Did you both watch Webster back in the day?
Oh, yeah.
So much.
I feel like I must have trailed off at some point. I don't consider myself a Webster completist, but I certainly saw my fair share of it back then, the mid to late 80s, I guess.
Yeah, well, that's it was around season four that the ratings dropped pretty sharply. And that was after Webster accidentally burned down where they were living doing a science experiment.
Yes.
And had to move to the new place. And so the ratings dropped after that, but then it went on in syndication till like 1989.
So yeah, good long run. And then that was it. We never heard from Emmanuel Lewis ever again.
Well, we never did, but the Japanese did, Kevin.
Oh, oh wow. He was embraced in Asia, where he continues to this day to be their number one star, right?
Well, he's a pop star there. It's music.
Oh.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, I'm not kidding. He had a number two hit with his song City Connection in Japan.
Is this what they call K-pop that I hear all the kids talking about? Does the K stand for Webster?
The K. It's Emmanuel K. Lewis. Emmanuel K-pop Lewis is his name. He went to college and he tried to continue his acting degree, but like a lot of the child actors of his day, he was having difficulty finding work. And then he ultimately decided, I'll go into music and I'll go into being a director. So that's why we don't see him on the screen anymore so much.
Yeah. Now, have you heard this music, Cornflake? Because I definitely have not.
I haven't.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, this is something I want to check out for sure.
Yeah. So we know he's a huge pop star in Japan. Is he bigger than Pink Lady from Pink Lady and Jeff? Because back in the late 70s, they were the biggest pop stars in Japan, Pink Lady.
I'd say they're about the same.
They're neck and neck. They work together now as a trio.
Pink Lady and Webster. That'd be pretty great.
Yeah.
So how much do you know about the show? Webster, Kevin.
At the show Webster? Very little, evidently, because my mind is racing and I'm drawing a blank. It was a married couple. They adopt Webster. The end.
Did you know that they were also married in real life?
Yes, that does sound familiar now. Yeah. Was it a football player?
Yeah, the real guy? Life football yeah. player. Alex yeah. Karras and Susan Clark. Alex Karras has passed away, but Susan Clark is still alive.
Okay.
Bill.
Yeah.
What do you know about Webster?
That's pretty much it there. Now, when we first started talking about it, I was thinking that there was a butler involved. But then I realized that I was probably mixing it up with Benson.
Yeah. Or Mr. Belvedere.
Or Mr. Belvedere. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's even more likely.
Everybody had a butler back then.
Yeah. So I'm wondering if like they came on back to back when I watched or something.
Like on sitcoms in the 80s, like middle class families
yeah.
had housekeepers and butlers.
Yeah, back when people got paid enough money to
yes.
do things.
We're just kind of a regular middle class family. We have live-in servants. That doesn't seem to happen much anymore. Alice doesn't live here anymore. So to speak. How many, a show of hands, because you two are on camera, but I am not. But who has seen Emmanuel Lewis live in person?
Not I.
You guys can't see me. I do not have a camera. My hand is up.
That is so cool.
I have witnessed live Emmanuel Lewis, and that's because of our friend Ken Reed, host of TV Guidance Counselor. He has done live editions of his TV Guidance Counselor podcast, and one of the first ones he did, this is a few years ago, his special guest, Emmanuel Lewis. And I was so excited when he announced this. I was freaking out like a teenage girl in the 60s with Beatles tickets. I was so excited. I'm going to go see Guidance Counselor with Emmanuel Lewis.
And you weren't the only one freaking out. This is on Emmanuel Lewis's Wikipedia page that he had an interview with Ken Reed.
Wow.
2014.
There you go. All right. We've pinned it down to the year. Well, I was there. Live Emmanuel Lewis. It was magical.
I can only imagine. You know, when I think of Emmanuel Lewis and I think of the TV show Webster, do you remember the theme song?
No. I'm sure I'd know it if I heard it, but...
The Then Came You song?
Yes. Okay, got it.
Never
yes.
thought forever was the best I could do and then came you?
Yes, I absolutely know that song. That was goofy.
Yeah, it was fun. And at the end... They're holding up Webster, and he's got balloons in his hands. It looks like they're just going to lift him up into the air, and he's going to float away.
Yeah. Yeah, because he's a little guy. It would not take too many balloons, and that's it. We never heard from Webster again.
There was no end to me requesting helium balloons after that, trying to float off, just like Emmanuel Lewis. So he's a hero of mine in aviation, which is sure. why I wanted to celebrate him for whatever day.
Absolutely. Do you remember that theme song, Bill?
It's been so long. No, I don't.
It's a classic.
Yeah.
By which I mean it's a generic sitcom theme song that sounds like every other one.
That's what I probably don't remember. Yeah.
Wow. Well, I'm still a little freaked out, but happy 50th birthday, Emmanuel Lewis. That's crazy.
Mm-hmm. I did pick something really good for Bill's visit.
That was a good one. Yeah, we needed a good one today. We have a guest. We have to be on our manners today. Now, Bill.
Yes.
I remember one MarsCon a few years ago, and we've talked about this MarsCon on the Flopcast, because there was one year, just a few years back, we were all there, and I had rented a car that year, and I noticed on the map how close we were to Wisconsin, and I'd never been to Wisconsin before, so I thought, this is my big chance, I'm going to go to Wisconsin. Bill, as I was leaving the hotel, I ran into you, and you were like, where are you going? I said, I thought I'd go to Wisconsin. And you, your immediate reaction was, I am absolutely not going with you. And you were like, you have to drive so deep into Wisconsin before you can find anything, before there's anything to see or do.
Yep. Yeah, we would drive through Wisconsin to get to MarsCon every year. So that was not an exciting thing for me at all.
Yeah, you knew what it was like driving through Wisconsin. And for me, it was like, I know there's nothing there. I don't care. I just want to see Wisconsin.
Yep, you just wanted to tick the box.
Yeah, check it off the list. I've been to Wisconsin. And so, yeah, I drove. And it's, what is it, like a half hour drive?
Something
I
guess, like that,
from a half hour, an hour or something. Yeah, I went to Wisconsin. I had lunch. I looked at a statue of a Boy Scout.
Yeah.
Then I drove back to MarsCon. Now, Michigan, I've been to, not many times at all, just a handful of times in my life. But I think the very first time I went to Michigan, that was also Bill's fault,
because
I think that would have been for your comedy music convention, Dementia 2001.
Yes.
Oh, that was in Michigan, wasn't that?
Yeah. I'm like, if I'm running it, it's going to be where I am.
Absolutely. That must have been about 20 years ago, right? This is the 20-year anniversary. Yeah. What if it was tonight, the exact 20-year anniversary? Let's just say it was, because who cares? Nobody's going to check.
Wow.
We're officially celebrating the 20th anniversary of Dementia 2001 right now. So here in Massachusetts, the Sponge Awareness Foundation loaded up a van.
Yeah, you guys were the only full actual band.
We brought a full band.
And it was amazing. And if I had realized how epic of a stage show I don't know why I had the set list I did, but I had you on Guys on First. I don't know why. But you guys should have been a headliner, end of the night, rock band, not First. But I didn't realize this at the time.
Oh, it was fine. Yeah, but I believe that was the first time I ever went to Michigan. We went to Niagara Falls, I believe, on the way.
How many other performances had groupies follow them from out of state?
A couple.
Cornflake was chasing after us the whole way. Yeah, we had to file a restraining order.
Was that the first time I met Cornflake?
Yeah, that's when we met.
But yikes, that was my first time in Michigan, all Bill's fault.
Same.
What a time we had. That was fun. That was crazy. So I was looking up Michigan today because I thought we've got Bill, Michigan native Blasted Bill, joining us on the show. And I thought, let me look up some Michigan fun facts. And I'm sure you must know some just off the top of your head.
Oh, yeah, of course.
I had to look this stuff up. But everybody knows it's the car capital of the world, right? That's an easy one.
The Motor City.
The world's largest cement plant is in Michigan.
Okay.
The world's largest limestone quarry is in Michigan. And the world's largest registered Holstein dairy herd.
I think I knew that, yeah.
What's that about? You got millions of cows wandering around up there? Is that what that means?
If you go north, then there's all kinds of cows.
Cool.
I'm more towards the city, so it's not too many cows around here.
Cologne. There's a town called Cologne, I guess.
Yep.
Cologne, Michigan is home to the world's largest manufacturer of magic supplies. What's that about?
That I did not know.
What do they make? Like those hats that you pull the rabbits out of?
Oh, sure.
Those come from Michigan?
Yep.
Do you get a discount? Can you get us a deal?
I'll have to check the Michigan discount thing, but probably.
Michigan has an official state reptile. Did you know this?
I think so, but I don't know if I know what it is.
It's the skink.
The skink, yes.
No, it's not. No, it's not.
What?
It's if they put me in charge, it would be the skink. No, it's the painted turtle.
Oh, yeah, of course, yeah.
Do you run into a lot of painted turtles?
Oh, yeah. We had a creek in my parents' back field when I was a kid. And, yeah, there was always painted turtles back there.
Oh, that's so cool. I did not run into a lot of turtles when I was a kid. Once in a while. It was very rare. We'd be so excited if we ever found a turtle.
Yeah.
Cornflake, did you find turtles?
Not only do I find turtles, I find them a lot more nowadays than I found them as a kid.
Yeah, I feel like we've discussed this now that you mentioned
it. Yes, because I'm a bit of a turtle crossing guard when it comes down to it.
Right, yeah, you help turtles cross the street.
Yes.
So the turtles come up into when my dad plows the field for corn. I grew up on a little bit of farm, for those who don't know.
Yeah.
And when he plows the field in the summer and the spring, the turtles, we sometimes see where they bury their eggs.
Oh, yeah.
In the cornfield. And so he marks them out so he doesn't plow there.
Oh, wow.
But we never actually were there when they hatched. That would have been cool. We should have set up a webcam or something.
That's so nice that he was carefully working around the turtle hatching area.
Mm-hmm.
Well, between Cornflake is helping them across the street and Bill's family is farming around their eggs. And now I feel like I've done nothing my whole life. I've never helped a turtle.
There's still time.
I feel like it's too late. The turtles hate me. They hate me. The first soda pop, I know you guys call it pop out there in the upper Midwest. This says Vernon's Ginger Ale,
yep.
Created in Detroit, became the first soda pop made in the United States.
Yes.
And that's a tradition that you have carried on to this day, because I know you're in the soda, or at least you used to be in the soda manufacturing game.
Yeah. I got all the equipment. We might do it again someday, but...
Yeah. And not like one of those little cheapo things that people get to mix soda with. Like, you were actually, like, chemically creating soda.
We have all the flavor oils, and we can make a 16-ounce bottle within 10 minutes of any flavor that we can conceive of the flavor oils we have.
What's your most favorite flavor you've made so far?
The best one I like is called Blasted Bill's Bubblegum Blast, because I found a bottle of bubblegum oil when we were looking for flavor oils. And I'm like, ooh, I want to make a pop out of bubblegum. But just the bubblegum oil itself was a little bit too chemically. So we put a little bit of tea berry, which is a flavor of gum, and a little bit of wintergreen. And that smoothed it out and made a nice bubblegum flavor. And we colored it blue because I like blue.
Yeah, I've tried some of your sodas here and there at conventions. Just delicious. Now, if that was your favorite, let's go the other way. Wait, did you ever make one that was just a disaster?
Yes. Well, there's two that...
And you sold and marketed it as Crystal Pepsi.
There's two that stand out. One, kind of getting back to Werner's, was a ginger ale. Because several people were like, make a ginger ale, make a ginger ale, make a ginger ale. We're like, fine, I'll make a ginger ale. It was, now I'm a super taster like Cornflake. And
right.
The smell, the god-awful smell. Oh, wait. Oh, no, there's a worse one. Okay, let me finish the ginger ale one first. So with the ginger ale one, like, it has this really strong, just nasty bite to it. Just like, oh, disgusting. However, we figured out a secret to it, which also relates to Werner's here that I was going to bring up, is that you have to age the ginger ale. So when we bottled it up and took it to the convention about a month later, we're like, here's your damn ginger ale. They're like, oh, it's good. And we're like, what? And we tried it. We're like, this is not what it tasted like when we bottled it. So apparently you have to let it sit and... Like, the act of sitting breaks down all those chemicals into a much smoother flavor. And this is what happened with Werner's. Werner's made a batch of ginger ale. He didn't really like it. Went off to the Civil War. Fought in the Civil War. And when he came back, it tasted much better. So he aged all his ginger ale for that duration of time. So if you ever actually see a bottle of Werner's, it said aged for, and then it has the number of years. And that's because when he went to the Civil War, he figured out that it requires aging.
That's fascinating.
So yes. The worst soda ever, bacon flavor. There's sometimes...
Oh, you want so badly for it to be good, and yet how could it possibly come out good?
So when you're obsessed with making soda pop like me and my friends were, anything that is a liquid flavorant, you think, I can make a pop out of this. And so it was one of those Tortolio flavorings that, like, they have coffee stuff.
I've had bacon-flavored lattes, so yeah. I know what you're talking
about. So we got a bottle of that, and we made soda out of it. Now, here's an interesting thing we discovered, that super tasters, it tastes extremely... extremely bad. There's something about it that is just nasty as hell. But like normal tasters, all they taste is the bacon and they liked it. So it was a very big divide of group of people, of those who hated it with a passion and those who loved it with a passion. So,
but is it just a, is it just a flavor? Is there actual pig involved?
I couldn't remember. I think it was a fake chemical.
Yeah.
I'd have to look it back up.
Yeah, you can flavor things bacon without there being any pork.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if it was fake, I'd try it. I can't touch the real stuff.
Yeah. And I'm pretty sure this was fake. And because it was fake, I could tell the terribleness of it because of the super tasting.
Yeah, yeah. We all, the three of us, engaged in a taste test thing. You had those tasting strips to determine if you're a super taster or a normal human or a freak like me, the non-taster, is what we determined that day. So I could probably just try any of these sodas and they'd all just be delicious to me because I'm a non-taster. That's why I cover everything in hot sauce.
And so recently, I'm adopted, and recently I met my birth uncles, and it turns out they have pretty much the same food preferences I do. So it was really interesting.
Did it turn out you're related to ginger ale magnate James Verner?
Distantly, yes.
Wow!
I knew it. This explains everything.
Carrying on the family tradition.
No, I just love how in the Upper Midwest they call it soda pop or just pop.
Just pop.
I just find that adorable. Nobody says that around here. You know, like we're aware of the term. Like we know that it exists and that some people call it that. But you do not hear that here in the East. And I just think of Soda Pop Curtis from The Outsiders, which was, who was Soda Pop? Rob Lowe? Rob Lowe was Soda Pop. And on Freaks and Geeks, they would call it pop. And Freaks and Geeks was set in Michigan. Another first from Michigan, the Detroit Zoo was the first zoo in America to feature cageless open exhibits so the animals could roam around. Look at that. You're breaking ground in the world of zoos.
Do you know why the Detroit Zoo started?
Oh, no. I love that there's a story for why they started.
There was a
like, were there too many giraffes and whatnot just wandering around? And someone said, you know what? Just put up a fence. We'll charge admission.
I mean, you're really close. There was a circus that came to Detroit, and they went bankrupt in Detroit and just stopped being a circus. And there was these animals, and they didn't know what to do with them. They're like, let's make a zoo. And so they made a zoo. And then, if memory serves, where the zoo used to be then became the old Tiger Stadium for baseball.
Okay.
So there's some double trivia for you, if I'm remembering that correctly.
Man, and then they were innovative in that they thought, you know what? Let's not trap all the animals in horrible tiny cages. Let them wander around a bit.
Yep.
So zoos are less horrifying than they used to be. I know they have their horrifying aspects to this day. But I mean, when I was a kid, I don't know if we talked about the zoo of my youth. There was a famous chimpanzee, like it was a local celebrity. Everybody knew Joe the chimp, and you'd go to this zoo and there's Joe the chimp and he's just sitting there in a cage, and this chimp would spit at people and smoked cigarettes. People would light cigarettes, throw them into the cage, and the chimp would smoke the cigarettes.
Wow.
Yeah. These days you go to that zoo, the chimpanzees, you can hardly even see them anymore. They're like a mile away. You look across this field, these little tiny black shapes way in the distance. It's like they're trying to atone for the sins of the past. And they're like, let's give the chimps all the land in the world.
All the space.
Nobody can even see them anymore because we're so sorry. What did we do to poor Joe back in the day? Michigan is the only place in the world with a floating post office. Are you aware of this, Bill?
It sounds familiar.
There's a post office that is a boat.
Yeah, I want to say it is on one of the Great Lakes, and it delivers mails to people on the Great Lakes.
Yeah, to ships.
Yeah.
It's a post office boat that delivers the mail to ships.
Yeah, so I think I've heard that before.
They've been operating for 125 years.
Probably the big freighter is out in the lake.
Sure, yeah, because you've got some great lakes out there.
Yeah.
I want to get my mail from a boat. I have a little brook that goes through my yard. Do you think I could get my mail by boat?
Yeah. Yeah. See if you can pitch that to the post office. I think we can work that out. Michigan is the only state that touches 4 of the 5 Great Lakes. Which one do you not touch? Ontario?
Ontario. Yeah.
Yeah. More shoreline than any other state except Alaska.
Yep.
Huh.
Lots of great beaches. And there's a little bit of rivalry in the state between the what's called the sunset side and the sunrise side.
Oh, sure, because you have coast on either side.
Yep.
Plus, what's going on with that freaky Upper Peninsula? Have you ever gone up there?
Oh, yeah. So I went up there a couple years ago. Because, okay, you know what Mackinac Island is?
No.
I've heard of that.
So just over the bridge between the Upper and Lower Peninsulas, you can take a ferry boat out to Mackinac Island. This is the where the Christopher Reeves movie, where it goes back in time, was filmed.
That was Gremlins.
Yeah. That was recorded on Mackinac Island. What it's known for is two things, is there's no cars allowed on the island.
Ah.
And they have amazing fudge.
Ooh.
So there's a whole bunch of horses and stuff, and there's a fort, and so it's touristy. So I've only gone to the UP to then go to Mackinac Island. I never really went much further until a couple summers ago. My girlfriend dragged me up there, and we went to Lake Superior.
Sure.
Lake Superior is cold. It was like middle of July, 90 degrees, and I just couldn't wait to be in the water because it was so hot. And you go in the water and you're like, I don't want to be in here. It is too cold. So you go on the shore and they have these little black flies that bite the crap out of you. And you're like, aww. I don't want to be on the shore because the black flies bite you. It was just miserable. You couldn't go either way. So we left.
Yeah, I've certainly never been that far north into Michigan all the way to the Upper Peninsula. Yeah, but I remember when I got my puzzle map when I was a kid, that just freaked me out. Wait a minute, that's the same state? What's going on up there? There's a whole other extra hunk floating by itself up there.
So now while we're talking about the Upper Peninsula,
yeah,
you know what they call people from the Upper Peninsula from Michigan, right?
Yes. As comedy music Dr. Demento fans like all of us are, of course, we know about the Youpers.
The Youpers. So, yeah, so when we were up there, I'm like, okay, since we're this far north and we're real close, we have to go to the tourist trap, which is the Youpers store up there, which was, you know, pretty cool to go to. But the people from the UP, the Youpers, call the people from the Lower Peninsula something. Do you know what they call people from the Lower Peninsula?
I feel like you have tossed this trivia question at me like three times, and I enough time passes that it's like a new question to me every time. I don't, Cornflake, do you know this one?
I don't.
They call us trolls because we live below the bridge.
Oh, that's cute. I like that.
There's the Mackinac Bridge, and we live below it. So,
wow, they're a bitter, angry people. Those Youpers, right? That's the takeaway. Let me see if I have anything else here. Just a couple more. Let's see. First state to provide in its constitution for the establishment of public libraries.
Nice.
That's cool. I used to live in the town of Franklin, Massachusetts.
Okay.
And Franklin was named after Benjamin Franklin. He did not found the town. As far as I know, he never even went to the town. But when the people that founded the town of Franklin, they wrote to him and said, hey, we named this town after you. What do you give us? Like they were fishing for, because he was a wealthy, you know, famous man. I think they wanted a bell for the church. They wanted some big expensive gift from Ben Franklin. And what he sent them was not what they asked for, but he sent them books.
Nice.
He sent them a bunch of books from his personal collection. And they used those books to start the first public library in America. And those books, and I used to live like within walking distance of this library, and those books are still there.
Wow.
You can go in and see they've got this special display cabinet, and here are Ben Franklin's books that he donated to the town.
Very nice.
Yeah. I think I still have a couple of them around here because I moved out. I never even returned them.
Yeah.
So I think I am racking up the late fees at the Franklin Public Library. I should probably avoid that town forever. I've said too much. In 1879, Detroit telephone customers were the first in the nation to be assigned phone numbers. What was everybody doing before that?
You
just pick up the phone and just hope for the best.
Party lines.
I hope I get somebody who's not a creep.
What was that? What was that movie?
That was Gremlins 2, the next batch you're thinking of.
Pennsylvania 655 or something like that.
Transylvania 65,000?
Well, yes, but that was based on, yeah, basically you would say the street name and the address when you talk to the operator. I think that's how it used to be.
Yeah, like if you watch those old-timey movies, they pick up the weird, goofy old phone. They're like, Blanche, get me a Klondike 872.
Yeah.
Then she patches you through, and then she listens to your call, because she's the town gossip.
Yep.
Yep.
I know how this works.
Okay, so this isn't Michigan trivia, but this is telephone trivia. Do you want to know who invented the first automated switch to replace operators?
Oh, when robots started replacing
yes.
the old-timey telephone operator, who invented it?
So I don't know the guy's name, but he was a dentist. And what had happened was his competitor's wife was a operator at the local telephone company. And so when anyone called to have calls directed to the one guy's dental office, the wife would patch the calls into her husband's. So he was losing a bunch of business because her competitor's wife was doing shady stuff.
Wow. They had a biased
yes.
telephone operator rerouting all the business calls.
Yes. So he figured out how to make a telephone switch so that he could get his business back.
Necessity is the mother of invention.
Yeah, so much innovation comes from desperate, angry dentists, I have found. That is some crazy telephone trivia. Let's see. I looked up some famous people from Michigan, include a lot of filmmakers. There was this long list of filmmakers come out of Michigan. And the only one that I knew off the top of my head was Michael Moore, of course, who famously, documentary filmmaker, making all those movies about Flint, Michigan
yep.
and whatnot. So I knew about Michael Moore. But Jerry Bruckheimer, Roger Corman, John Hughes. John Hughes, I did not know that. He's a Michigan guy as well. The Kasdans, Lawrence Kasdan, and of course his son, Jake Kasdan. Bill Prady from Big Bang Theory and whatnot. Sam Raimi.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
He's a Michigan guy. Yeah. And Paul Feig. I mentioned Freaks and Geeks, and Paul Feig is from Michigan, and that's why, you know, he created Freaks and Geeks, and he said it in Michigan, because that's what he knew from when he was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
So, man, more high-profile Hollywood filmmakers than I would have guessed.
I got some other ones off the top of my head, not just famous people.
Sure.
You got Madonna.
Yes.
And then Tim Allen.
Tim Allen, yeah, from Home Improvement.
Yeah.
I got the names that I plucked out from looking at a weird list earlier today. Byron Allen from Real People.
Allens are doing good here.
Yeah, a couple of Allens. I don't think they're related. I don't think they're related. Gillian Anderson from The X-Files. Elizabeth Berkley from Showgirls.
Oh.
Oh, wow, Elizabeth Berkley.
Blasted Bill's all-time favorite movie, as I recall.
Yeah, yeah.
Also Saved by the Bell.
I like how you yes-anded that ridiculous assertion that your favorite
movie. That's what the rule on here, right?
Yes, that's and. Right. That is. We do like to yes-and, but man, that's a tough one, because I just forced upon you. I am a fan of Showgirls also.
I don't even know if I've even seen it.
It's just so crazy and yeah. horrifying and stupid. I think it came up on the show a little while back, and there's a documentary called You Don't Know Me, and that's Nomi, N-O-M-I. So it's a documentary about Showgirls. It's great. So watch the documentary. Don't watch the movie. Dave Coulier.
Dave Coulier.
Is from Michigan.
So this might be a little blue for the Flopcast.
Yeah.
But did you watch Scrubs?
No.
Okay. Well, in Scrubs, they had the concept of Wiener brothers or Wiener cousins. If two guys slept with the same woman, they were Wiener cousins. So I am theoretically Wiener cousins with Dave Coulier.
Because of that tawdry affair you had with Alanis Morissette?
Yes. Yes.
Yes. We are learning so much about Blasted Bill. Let's see. Casey Kasem is on this list. That's a good one. Ed McMahon. That's confusing because here in Massachusetts, we try to claim Ed McMahon as our own as well.
It's true. I'm surprised to hear you saying this.
Yeah. Well, I think he worked in radio in Lowell, Massachusetts. So Lowell, Mass. Likes to claim Ed McMahon, but evidently he's also on the Michigan list. Gilda Radner, Lily Tomlin. Look at that. A couple of big
wow.
comedy ladies out of the 70s. And then you get into music, of course. It's all the Motown stuff, of course. Aretha, Smokey, Stevie Wonder, Diana Ross. And beyond that, yeah, we mentioned Madonna already. But Alice Cooper, Marshall Crenshaw, Iggy Pop, Bob Seger, Susie Quattro. That's Leather Tuscadero from Happy Days. That's important. Sponge. The band Sponge.
Oh, I'm not aware of them.
There's a band called Sponge. They had a...
I remember Sponge.
They had a couple of hit songs, like alternative rock kind of hits of the mid-90s. Because my band came first. Sponge Awareness Foundation was around before Sponge.
Nice.
But I think they sold a few more records than we did.
Just possibly.
Yeah, they had that song Molly, which was sort of Molly Ringwald themed, to call back to last week's podcast.
It sounds vaguely familiar now that you say it, but I don't know if I know it.
Yeah, it's a pretty good song. And I think the last weird Michigan thing on my list is Kellogg's.
Yes.
Cereal was invented
in
Michigan.
The Kellogg Sanitarium.
So that's right. It was a weird history to a cereal, of course. So you've got all those mascots that we're so fascinated by around here come out of Michigan then, technically, I guess. You know, like Snap, Crackle, and Pop. The Cornelius, the rooster, the Cornflakes rooster.
Yep.
That's a Michigan bird, you know.
There you go.
Toucan Sam, Tony the Tiger, and Dig'em Frog from Sugar Smacks.
Yeah.
Why didn't they use the painted turtle?
That's a good question. They should
have. That's a mystery.
Do they have some kind of giant, like, Kellogg's museum that people flock to learn about cereal?
Yes. It's over near Kalamazoo, I want to say, which is a real place. I've been to it.
Yeah, I've heard of Kalamazoo. Never been there. What about Battle Creek, Michigan? Have you been to Battle Creek?
Battle Creek, Kalamazoo.
That was like an address you'd send away for stuff. Like when I was a kid, all the commercials, it was, here's the address to write for your free sample of whatever to Battle Creek, Michigan.
Battle Creek, Michigan, remember?
Yeah, which is right near Kalamazoo. So
everything came from either Battle Creek, Michigan or Pueblo, Colorado.
Yeah, Pueblo, Colorado. Yeah, you're right.
Every time I mailed anything as a kid, it was going to one of two destinations.
Well, for me, I also had Culver City.
Right. Sure.
California.
That's where Dr. Demento's address was.
Yep.
Does that post office boat, were they delivering all my mail to Battle Creek, Michigan?
Yep, they went up the creek.
Yes. Well, man, there's a lot going on up there.
Oh, yeah.
Look at that.
Michigan's a big place.
We've learned so much about your home state of Michigan.
And there's so much more to learn.
No, I think we covered everything. This was an exhaustive study of the history of Michigan.
I'm just saying, at some other point in time... More could be learned by you guys coming here, perhaps, or something.
Here's something. This says, beloved cartoon character Michigan J. Frog has never actually set foot in Michigan.
Yes.
And, in fact, actively despises the state.
Yes, I've heard that.
How about that?
I had no idea.
I may have just made that up myself earlier today when I was preparing this list of facts, but let's just roll with it, you know?
Sure.
So... there you go. That's Michigan, home to our buddy Blasted Bill. Good stuff. You know what? Cornflake.
Y'all? Yeah?
Before we're overrun by painted turtles, get us out of here.
Okay. Between shows, you can find us on the internet. We're at flopcast.net. We're on facebook.com/flopcast. Our Twitter handle is @flopcast. On Instagram, we are the_flopcast. And wherever you download your podcasts, please leave us a rating and a review. You could do that on Apple if that's where you get your podcasts from. Music for the Flopcast is written and performed by the Sponge Awareness Foundation.
Sponge Awareness Foundation, we actually started as a band because our circus train broke down. We had nowhere to go. We were trapped. And so we just turned the train into a recording studio. And we've been pelting the world with stupid music ever since.
Wasn't your original lead singer Michigan J. Frog?
It was. It, absolutely. We started with a cartoon frog with a beautiful voice. You know that frog. That frog can sing.
Yes, he can.
And then somehow, some sort of a weird Pete Best switch happened, and suddenly I'm in the band instead, and the rest is the total lack of history of my little band. Cornflake, thanks for joining me, and hey, Blasted Bill, thanks for joining both of us.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It was fun.
Oh, it was so much fun to have you on the show, Bill.
Yeah, thank you.
So crazy fun to have an old friend join us, and it's just like we're goofing around, hanging out crazy late at night in a hotel lobby at some weird nerd convention, which is what we usually do together. This has been great. Everybody, thanks for hanging out with all of us. Meanwhile, be safe. Be good. Go to Michigan. If you're brave enough, go to the Upper Peninsula. You will be judged as a troll. Meanwhile, we'll see you next week.
Peace and cookies.
crisis for the geek kind. Top geek officials admit they underestimated the hipster's defense capability. Join the geek revolution and save the galaxy. Geeks from all over the globe are joining up to fight for the future. They're doing their part. Are you? Want to know more? Join Weeby Geeks and the Geek Revolution and save the world. Service guarantees citizenship. Listen to Weeby Geeks podcast on iTunes and Stitcher or online at weebygeeks.net. Weeby Geeks, your voice for the Geek Revolution.
The world's longest running comedy music concert series is coming from inside your house!
Wow, that went to a dark place.
Virtual MarsCon 2021 is taking place online for free on March 12th, 13th, and 14th.
Hi, MarsCon!
This year's event will have live stream performances by The Great Luke Ski, Devo Spice, Worm Quartet, Insane Ian, TV's Kyle and Lindzilla, Il Nage, Beth Kinderman, Tom Smith, Throwing Toasters, Amy Englehart, an AMA interview with Ookla the Mock, and this year's music guest of honor, Robbie Ellis. We'll also be doing a virtual Q&A with the man who has been playing drums in Weird Al Yankovic's band for over 40 years, John Bermuda Schwartz.
Drum solo!
For info on how to watch, go to MarsCon.com. And for info on the comedy music track, go to MarsConComedy.com.
And do watch out for flying lobsters.
Thanks for listening, funny music fans. And I hope to see you all at Virtual MarsCon 2021.
And hey, I'm still here. Cornflake, you're still here?
Yes.
Blasted Bill, you still with us?
Yeah, what's going on here?
You made it. A rare guest for the secret after show. We don't have many guests on the main show. It's even more unusual for a guest to somehow find their way into this deepest, darkest corner of the internet, the Flapcast secret after show. Welcome.
But we said to Blasted Bill, shh, just follow us. Just don't ask any questions. Just follow us.
What's the secret magical land?
You can speak freely here because nobody's listening. If you take the Flapcast listening audience and then take a smaller subset of that, you're at a subatomic level at that point. Like you have to measure our listeners in angstroms at this point. But here we are. Cornflake, what's going on?
Well, I could say something for the secret after show, but it just occurred to me, Bill, was there something you wanted to say?
The only thing that I would have for the secret after show is a complaint.
Ooh,
what?
Excellent.
And it's not a complaint about the Flopcast. It's a complaint about the network.
Because yes!
Because the lady who does the promo mispronounces Patreon every day. And every time I have to go, it's not Patreon, it's Patreon!
I always wondered. I thought, well, have I been pronouncing it wrong as Patreon?
I think she's being fancy.
It's not a patronage, it's a patronage.
This lady's name is Michelle. I know Michelle. She's great. That is the voice in the intro and outro for the ESO Network. And yeah, she says Patreon. And that is her right.
Yeah.
She may pronounce it any way she likes. I think she's from the Upper Peninsula.
Yeah. We didn't even get into all the crazy weird mispronunciations of words in Michigan either.
Do they say Patreon up there?
Yep.
Give me another weird Michigan pronunciation.
Okay, the thing that cows produce that you drink.
Yes, Diet Sprite.
How do you pronounce that?
Milk.
Milk.
Ah!
How do they say it? Like with an E?
With an E, milk.
Milk!
Like M-E-L-K, milk.
Yep.
Yeah, I've heard people say that, not just in Michigan.
And then the other one is pillow.
Oh, it's a pillow.
It's like a pillow, but it's a pillow.
All right, forget it. I'm not going to Michigan ever again. Armed with this new information, I did not see how I could possibly ever go there again. Cornflake, did you have something for us while we're still after-showifying?
Oh, I figured I would just announce my happy news because, well, frankly, I have nowhere else to share it.
Is this a birth announcement like the one that ruined Bill's podcast?
It's the end of the Flopcast as we know it. No, it is not before rumors start. No, I won a contest.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I won a contest. I won a tiara.
Hey.
On the internet. Guys, I'm going to be so sparkly.
Yay.
This is great news, and I think that we can now officially declare you the Queen of Michigan.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network.
be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon.
It's not Patreon, it's Patreon!
Or by shopping at the TeePublic store, which can all be found at ESONetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.